podcast brought to you by Froja K. Today I'm going to discuss feminism. I hope you are already familiar with the term, and please listen the full episode to learn more about feminism. Feminism is the belief in social, economic, and political equality of the sexes. Although largely originating in the West, feminism is manifested worldwide and is represented by various institutions committed to activity on behalf of women's rights and interests. Feminism, a belief in the political, economic, and cultural equality of women, has roots in the earliest eras of human civilization. It's typically separated into three waves. First wave feminism, dealing with property rights and the right to vote. Second wave feminism, focusing on equality and anti-discrimination. And third wave feminism, which started in the 1990s as a backlash to the second wave's perceived privileging of white, straight women. From ancient Greece to the fight for women's suffrage to women's marches and the Me Too movement, the history of feminism is as long as it's fascinating. In the classic Republic, Plato advocated that women possess natural capacities equal to men for governing and defending ancient Greece. Not everyone agreed with Plato. When the women of ancient Rome staged a massive protest over the Appian law, which restricted women's access to gold and other goods, Roman consul Marcus Porcius Cato argued, as soon as they begin to be your equals, they will have become your superiors. Despite Cato's fears, the law was repealed. In the book of the City of Ladies, 15th century writer Christine de Pizan protested misogyny and the rule of women in the Middle Ages. Years later, during the Enlightenment, writers and philosophers like Margaret Cavendish, the Duchess of Newcastle upon Tyne, and Mary Wollstonecraft, author of A Vindication of the Rights of Women, argued vigorously for greater equality of women. Women's history is full of trailblazers in the fight for equality in the United States, from Abigail Adams imploring her husband to remember the ladies when envisioning a government for the American colonies, to suffragists like Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton fighting for women's right to vote, to the rise of feminism and Hillary Clinton becoming the first female nominee for president by a major political party, American women have long fought for equal footing throughout the nation's history. Abigail Adams, first lady to President John Adams, specifically saw access to education, property, and ballot as critical to women's equality. In letters to her husband, John Adams, Abigail Adams warned, "If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion and will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice." The rebellion that Adams threatened began in the 19th century as calls for greater freedom for women joined with voices demanding the end of slavery. Indeed, many women leaders of the abolitionist movement found an unsettling irony in advocating for African American rights that they themselves could not enjoy. At the 1848 Seneca Falls Convention, abolitionists like Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucretia Mott boldly proclaimed in their now famous Declaration of Sentiments that we hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal. Controversially, the feminists demanded their sacred right to the elective franchise or the right to vote. Many attendees thought voting rights for women were beyond the pale, but were silent when Frederick Douglass argued that he could not accept the right to vote as a black man if women could not also claim that right. When the resolution passed, the women's suffrage movement began in earnest and dominated most of feminism for several decades. Slowly, suffragists began to claim some successes. In 1893, New Zealand became the first sovereign state, giving women the right to vote, followed by Australia in 1902 and Finland in 1906. In a limited victory, the United Kingdom granted suffrage to women over 30 in 1918. In the United States, women's participation in the First World War proved to many that they were deserving of equal representation. In 1920, thanks largely to the work of suffragists like Susan B. Anthony and Carrie Chapman Catt, the 19th Amendment passed. American women finally earned the right to vote. With these rules secured, feminists embarked on what some scholars refer to as the second wave of feminism. Women began to enter the workplace in greater numbers following the Great Depression, but many male breadwinners lost their jobs, forcing women to find women's work in lower paying but more stable careers like housework, teaching, and secretarial roles. During the Second World War, many women actively participated in the military or found work in industries previously reserved for men, making Rosie the Riveter a feminist icon. Following the Civil Rights Movement, women sought greater participation in the workplace with equal pay at the forefront of their efforts. The Equal Pay Act of 1963 was among the first efforts to confront this still relevant issue. I would like to remind you that the Equal Pay Act is a labor law that prohibits gender-based wage discrimination in the United States. Signed by President Kennedy in 1963 as an amendment to the Fair Labor Standards Act, the law mandates equal pay for equal work by forbidding employers from paying men and women different wages or benefits for doing jobs that require the same skills and responsibilities. The bill was among the first laws in American history aimed at reducing gender discrimination in the workplace. But cultural obstacles remained, and with the 1963 publication of The Feminine Mystic, Betty Friedan, who later co-founded the National Organization for Women, argued that women were still relegated to unfulfilling roles in homemaking and childcare. By this time, many people had started referring to feminism as women's liberation. In 1971, feminist Gloria Steinem joined Betty Friedan and Bella Abjug in founding the National Women's Political Caucus. Steinem's Miss Magazine became the first magazine to feature feminism as a subject on its cover in 1976. The Equal Rights Amendment, which sought legal equality for women and banned discrimination on the basis of sex, was passed by Congress in 1972, but following a conservative backlash, was never ratified by the United States to become law. 1 year later, feminists celebrated the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, the landmark ruling that granted a woman's right to choose an abortion. Critics have argued that the benefits of the feminist movement, especially the second wave, were largely limited to white college-educated women, and that feminism has failed to address the concerns of women of color, lesbians, immigrants, and religious minorities. Even in the 19th century, Sojourner Truth lamented racial distinctions in women's status by demanding entire women in her starting speech before the 1851 Ohio Women's Rights Convention. By 2010, feminists pointed to prominent cases of sexual assault and rape culture as emblematic of the work still to be done in combating misogyny and ensuring women have equal rights. The Me Too movement gained new prominence in October 2017 when the New York Times published a damning investigation into allegations of sexual harassment made against influential film producer Harvey Weinstein. Many more women came forward with allegations against other powerful men, including President Donald Trump. On January 21, 2017, the first full day of Trump's presidency, hundreds of thousands of people joined the Women's March on Washington in D.C. A massive protest aimed at the new administration and the pursuit of trade it represented to reproductive, civil, and human rights. It was not limited to Washington. Over 3 million people in cities around the world held simultaneous demonstrations, providing families with a high-profile platforms for advocating on behalf of full rights for all women worldwide. The first wave of feminist activism emerged in the new millennium after an interim period when feminism as a visible and active social movement was said to scarcely exist, with unsympathetic commentators, especially in the North, all too eager to pronounce it as over or unnecessary. Yet, if there was less street activism, a feature characteristic of the third wave, there were lively debates in universities and in popular culture over feminism, as new currents of thought and new actors gained voice. In the United States, the seeds of the third wave were evident in the publications by young feminists that appeared declaring themselves to be a new generation celebrating diversity and girl power, publishing articles and personal testimonials, and engaging in general cultural critique. Feminists today, wherever they happen to be, live in societies that have undergone rapid social change in their own lifetimes. This has typically included a marked shift toward more liberal attitudes on sexuality and family forms, and more inclusive attitudes and way of working with respect to race and ethnicity. These changes are reflected in young feminist movements' direct embrace of struggles beyond those pertaining to women's rights, such as supporting environmental justice and LGBTQ+, and other identity movements, and being expressly committed to anti-racist, egalitarian practices and politics within their own movements and in on-the-ground collaborations. Women have struggled for equality and against oppression for centuries. Although some battles have been partly won, such as the right to vote and equal access to education, women are still disproportionately affected by all forms of violence and by discrimination in every aspect of life. In general, feminism can be seen as a movement to put an end to sexism, sexist exploitation, and oppression, and to achieve full gender equality in law and in practice. Thank you for listening. I hope you understand the notion of feminism from today's episode. Feel free to download and share this episode with your friends and family members. And yes, don't stop fighting for equality wherever you are. Season 4 of my podcast covers socio-cultural issues, and I'm coming with a brand new episode on rape culture in my next episode. Stay safe and stay empowered. Raise your voice against injustice anywhere.